Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
H-O-T-T-O-G-O, you can take me high to go. H-O-T-T-O-G-O, it's a banger, dudes. It's a banger. I don't care. I'll listen to pop music if the pop music's catchy and fun. And Chapel Roan put out a banger that's catchy and fun. I've been singing it all morning. Heard it on the radio on the way in this AM and haven't stopped. It slaps. It slaps. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number 2 of the Rob Brown Show starts right now. This is the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown, the great Lonzo on the other side of the metaphorical glass on the ones and twos this AM. We'd love to have you be a part of the show. 71-307-71-307 is the text line. Start your text with fan, F-A-N, fan, F-A-N. We'll read it on the air. You can tweet me at The Rob Brown Show. You can tweet the great one at Lonzo on Word. You can get it, all of us, at the Fan Upstate. And you can call the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone at 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663. There's all the different ways to get in touch with the program. Oh, there's one more, the Ray Memorial Hotline. If you want in on the Ray Memorial Hotline, it's very simple, my dudes and dudettes. You go to the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. If you don't have it yet, grab it, put it on your digital devices. And once you do, go to the Fan Upstate page. Once you get to the Fan Upstate page, in the middle of the page, there's two buttons, a big orange one that says Listen Live. And if you click that button, you get to listen to the show live. You get to listen to the station live, 24/7, 365. And next to that, there's another button. It's a little circle with a microphone on the inside. You click that button. It doesn't even look like a button, all right? But it's a button. You click that button, and when you do, it's going to take you to another page that allows you to record and send a voice note of up to 30 seconds. You do that, it comes straight to the great one and I, and during the audio blitz, every day, if you send us the best voice note since yesterday's audio blitz, your voice note will be featured as the Armada audio of the AM. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is 7:02. We got Lulu Kessin coming up at 8 o'clock, so the audio blitz is going to be at 8:20 this morning. I do not have one yet.
All right, I have a request. In honor of all this talk of the sun, please push that button and sing your best rendition of a song with sun in it.
I mean, that's what you want to do.
Sunshine on My Shoulder, Sunshine Day by the Brady Bunch, if you want to do that. Or even Black Hole Sun, depending on how you feel.
Won't you come and wash away the rain, Black Hole Sun? Won't you come? Won't you come? Well,
now they won't do it, because how could they top that?
I mean, it's fair. It's fair. Go to the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Go to the Fan Upstate page. Click on that microphone button. Leave us an up to 60-second voice note. I do not have an Armada audio in the AM winner yet. I am looking for one in the next hour and 17 minutes. One of you, if you want it, will get your... And it can be about anything you want. I'm just looking for the best one. It doesn't have to be sports. It can be food-related, it can be a wonderful story, a shared memory, or you can just rant and rave and scream into your phone for 59.9 seconds if that's what you want to do. But I need an Armada audio in the AM winner in the next hour and 16 minutes. Now, in 56 minutes, you've got to be to work. You got to respond to those emails. And then you're going to walk down the hallway. You're going to go to the break room, glug, 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 pour some water out of that water cooler, and you're going to talk sports with your coworkers. And if you're going to do that, you're going to need this. Sports Flash. This is going to be the fastest audio. A 57-second
whatever. I retire.
It's the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office this AM and start talking sports with your coworkers. If you're gonna, and let's be real, you're gonna need to know what's going on. And if you're gonna need to know what's going on, this is it. Let's dive right in with item number one. You right over there, bud?
Just missing cues right and left. Retirement. I see it. It's right over there. I just got to leap towards
it. That's the sun. Don't stare into it. To the NBA we go. A pair of NBA milestones reached last night. We start with the freak, the alien, Victor Wembanyama. Scored a career-high 50 points last night, including a career-best 8 three-pointers in a 139-130 regulation win over the Washington Wizards. Why is that important? Couple reasons. Number one, the last time the Spurs had a 50-point outing in a regulation game, you got to go all the way back to 1994, 30 years ago, and it was done by the Admiral, David Robinson, the last player to drop a 50 spot in regulation for the San Antonio Spurs. At 20 years and 314 days, Victor Wembanyama is also the fourth youngest player to score 50 points. The three that were younger than him, younger by just a handful of days was Devin Booker. Younger than just a handful more days than that was LeBron James, and younger than just a few days than that was Brandon Jennings, the youngest ever to drop a 50-burger. Here's my favorite thing. Victor Wembanyama is the tallest player in NBA history to ever record a 50 spot. My man is 7'4", knocked down 8 threes en route to a 50-burger. Victor Wembanyama is going to be a dog. That dude figures out how to put a little bit more muscle onto a 7'4" tall frame. He's going to be absolutely elite. Here's the fun thing. He doesn't really have to, because Wemby can play outside the arc. He can play from the elbow. He can play from the short corner. He does not have to get up under the iron and bang around like Shaq Daddy. You got to come out to play Victor Wembanyama. If you got a 7-footer that can get a hand in the face of Wemby, he might have to play perimeter defense. Do you understand how many 7-footers can play perimeter defense? 0, 9, none, not anywhere. I love this kid. This kid's going to be fun to watch as he continues to develop. Second NBA story in item number one, Greg Popovich, head coach of the San Antonio Spurs, announced yesterday that the medical issue that caused him to miss games and will keep him out for at least the near future was a stroke. Greg Popovich did have a stroke. However, according to said San Antonio Spurs, he is currently in a rehabilitation procedure and is expected to make a full recovery and return to the Spurs sometime in the future. Now, it may take some time. We'll find out. But Pops did have a stroke, is expected to return to the team after making a full recovery down the line. And the third NBA story within item number one, Bron's still a dog. That man can still play. Last night, he became the oldest player in NBA history to record three consecutive triple doubles. 35 points, 14 assists, and 12 boards. It was LeBron's fourth triple-double of the season through 11 games. It brought his career regular season total up to 116. It was also his third straight all-coming in wins during a 3-0 homestand for the Lake Show. They are 6-0 at the house to start the season for the first time since 2010. The triple-double streak is tied for the longest of James' 22-year career, matching the three he had back in 2019, 2017, and 2009. And as mentioned, at 39 years old, the oldest player in NBA history to record three straight triple-doubles. The last oldest to do it was LeBron James at age 35. Now he did it at 39. The kid can still ball. And we're going to talk a little bit more about him later on in the show. But we got to get to item number two. Whether it's good, bad, positive, negative, ugly, beautiful, Aaron Rodgers is a compelling character to pay attention to. You might dislike him because of his political takes. You might love him because of his political takes. You might dislike him because of his quarterback play. You might love him because of his quarterback play. You might blame the Jets' problems on him. You may do everything in your power to take the Jets' problems off of him. But however you look at it, much like the Dallas Cowboys, even though Aaron Rodgers and the Jets stink, they're a compelling topic to talk about, which is why it is very interesting that Aaron Rodgers said yesterday that he is planning on running it back in 2025 and playing one more year. Now, it's interesting in large part because under his current contract, none of Aaron Rodgers' compensation is guaranteed after this year, meaning that Aaron Rodgers has two options. Number one, he plays under his current contract in 2025 and he makes zero dimes. Or number two, the New York Jets exercise a $35 million option bonus to go on top of his cap charge, which will be $23.5 million. Asked why he's thinking about coming back, Rodgers says he remains optimistic about himself and the Jets' future. He said, quote, "The verdict is still not out on this season yet, despite the fact that the Jets got drummed by the Cardinals 31-6 last weekend, and Anthony Richardson coming back for the Colts as QB1 when facing the Jets is not a coincidence to me. If they had the Chiefs or the Lions or the Ravens or the Bills this weekend, then I think Anthony Richardson sits down one more week. But because it's the Jets, they're going to trot him back out and give him another shot. We'll see if A-Rod decides to come back, and we will see if the Jets decide to have him back or if someone else is willing to pay Aaron Rodgers $30 million to play quarterback for a year. But it's something to keep an eye on.
I'm sure a new coach will probably factor into that.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Because I'll tell you right now, if I was taking over as the Jets head coach, I don't want to start my career with a 41-year-old quarterback coming off of the statistically worst season of his career in every statistic. He is ranked 24th in total QBR, the worst he's ever been through this point of the season. He is averaging less than 6.5 yards per attempt, the lowest of his season. He has a 15-7 TD to INT ratio, the worst of his career. His completion percentage is the worst of his career.
Perfect place to draft a quarterback. You let Aaron play one more year. You let that guy sit behind Aaron, see what things are like. And then you got your quarterback of the future.
As much as I believe in letting rookie quarterbacks sit and sit behind a vet, even if the vet's not that good, I don't know if there's anything to be gained sitting behind Aaron Rodgers. I don't think there's anything to learn from this guy anymore. I don't think he ain't Aaron Rodgers anymore. All right, very quickly, item number three. Joey texted the show and said, "Hell, I'd love to go on an ayahuasca retreat with Aaron Rodgers." I got to tell you, there is part of me that thinks it would be compelling to go away in a hobbit hole for a week with Aaron Rodgers and just experience it. I think it'd be the wildest handful of days of your life to just see the universe the way Aaron Rodgers sees it. I don't disagree, Joey.
I would love to see you do that and it like change your entire outlook on life.
I mean, it might. It might.
That's what those experiences supposedly do. So they either enhance or they change. So
I'll tell you one thing I wouldn't say after doing it. Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback. I wouldn't be saying that afterwards. All right. Item number three. Diamond Sports Group, the bankrupt operator of regional sports networks around the country, is trying to figure out how in the hell they're going to dig out of the hole that they are in right now. Well, step number one of their master plan was revealed yesterday. They have signed a commercial agreement with streaming giant Amazon that will allow in-market fans to watch their teams carried by Diamond Sports Group through Prime Video. Why is this importante? Because one of those teams is the Atlanta Braves. The agreement extends to Diamond's 16 RSNs in 31 states and will be available as an add-on subscription for those who already have access to Amazon Prime and limited to customers corresponding within each team's designated geographic area. Diamond announced in a news release yesterday that pricing and a start date have yet to be determined, but that the agreement is also non-exclusive, which means fans can also stream local games through the FanDuel Sports Network website as well. So, if you are a Braves fan who has spent, I don't know, multiple radio segments of your life over the past few years whining and complaining that the Braves have become progressively more inaccessible to you and asking the question, why is it that you are blocking out a Braves game at 1:30 in the afternoon on a freaking Tuesday afternoon? I can't go to the park. I have a job, DSG. I have a job. Why am I blacked out? Well, now you'll have the opportunity to give Amazon Prime even more of your hard-earned dollars, but you will be able to watch home games. So that's interesting. This comes on the heels of the Atlanta Braves.
What price point would you go? No,
I'd be if you're giving me access to every home game, because it'll be home games, right? If you're giving me access to every home game, you're giving me 81 home games, that if I have access to all of them. Now, obviously, there will be home games that are broadcast on, you know, ESPN nationally, Sunday Night Baseball, when the Braves host one of those. And they will next year, because the Braves have the four shortest odds in Major League Baseball to win the World Series next year. If the Braves have 81 home games, and let's say 20 of them are national, so I'm getting 61 home games that I would not otherwise have access to if I did not illegally stream them somewhere.
Which you would never do.
No, of course not.
You don't do that sort of thing.
No, of course not. I'd come off, you're probably looking at, I would guess, you're probably looking at like 12 to 15 games a month that this would matter for. Like 12 to 15 games max a month that this would, at max. Sometimes there'd be some months that it's probably like 6 or 8. But let's say for the sake of, let's say 10 games a month from April, May, June, July, August, September. So I would probably fork over $35 a month for that. On top of what I already pay for Amazon Prime, which is, I think Amazon Prime's up to what, like $200 a year now, right? I think it's like $1.99 a year at this point. So you're looking at $200 a year. So you're looking at, you know, $17 a month effectively for Amazon Prime. I'd go another, I'd say $30. I'd go $30 a month if I got every Braves home game that would possibly be blacked out. But either way, my biggest complaint about baseball.
Do they just have baseball?
No, they also have some NHL teams, and I know they have the Pelicans down in New Orleans is a Diamond Sports Group team. I think the Utah Hockey Club and Phoenix Coyotes. The Phoenix Coyotes and now Utah Hockey Club. I believe that they are a Diamond Sports Group. There are a handful from across sports that DSG has the rights to. All of them would come accessible. The only one I care about right now, because this is also in market. Like, I can't get Pelicans games here, right? If I got the Braves and the Pelicans, I'd give you $50 a month if I got both. But I only get the Braves in this market. So I'd go like $25-$30 a month if I got every Braves home game that would be blacked out. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute, got a couple of bits of sound that I want to play and respond to. We got Lulu Kessin coming up at 8 o'clock. In the morning to talk Gamecock football, 8:40 Rashad Beard, 9 o'clock Hayton S. Mario from the BetQL Network to talk NFL and Fight Club with Lonzo at 9:20. All coming up on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. So I have some audio that I want to play here, and I want to play here because there's three clips that I believe are all connected. Lonzo and I, like once a year, butt heads over something.
Yeah, it's very infrequent. We're usually very agreeable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the on-air equivalent of hugs.
You know what we are? We're Shaq and Kobe, you know? Like butt heads a lot, but also kick everybody else's ass in the process.
I think I know which one I am.
We're like Shaq and Kobe. Oh, you're for sure Shaq. You're for sure Shaq. Just banging in the paint, man.
How'd that taste?
For sure. Hey, Kobe, tell me how my taste. What are the greatest bars ever, dude? That clip was a soundbite on every radio show for a year. All right, so one of the places that Lonzo and I have regularly bumped heads is the way that the media is treated, both in regular life and in sports. I very frequently find myself coming to the defense of the media while also pointing out, I'm going to finish this. While also pointing out that editorialist, that hot take artists, that opinion makers, making their opinion is not the same as the media. It's a different branch, okay? So, there are three people who gave us sound bites this past weekend. And all of them, I had a different response to. I want to start with Utah Utes athletic director Mark Harlan. If you missed it, Utah played BYU this weekend. Late in the game, there was a situation where a very questionable defensive holding call was made on the outside. See, Utah had BYU pushed up against their own goal line. They thought they got a stop on fourth down, would have ended the game. Instead, out of nowhere, a yellow hanky hit the turf. It was ruled a defensive holding, and Utah got a first down, a fresh set. They drove the length of the field. They were able to score and win the game. Mark Harlan stormed the press conference. This was not scheduled. He was not on the list of speakers. Mark Harlan stormed the podium, sat down at the table, and in fact, you are going to hear within this clip an audio shift. And you're going to hear the audio shift because the reporters had all shut down their cameras and microphones for this particular moment. And then Harlan started speaking, and they all had to turn them back on. Here's what it sounded like.
I've been an athletic director for 12 years. This game was absolutely stolen from us. We were excited about being in the Big 12, but tonight I am not. We won this game. Someone else stole it from us.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Very disappointed. I will talk to the commissioner. This was not fair to our team. I'm disgusted by the professionalism of the officiating crew tonight. Thank you.
Okay, so this clip's interesting.
You're not supposed to do that.
This clip's interesting to me because a couple of things. Number one, I actually agree with him. I think Utah deserved to win that game. I think it was one of the most hilariously weak defensive holding calls I've ever seen. There was contact at the line of scrimmage, as there is allowed to be. The contact was released once the wide receiver got down the field, as he is supposed to be. And the flag did not come out until after the pass was incomplete and the play was dead and Utah effectively won the game.
Were there complaints around like there usually are by players and then suddenly the flag comes out?
here's the thing, because it was a late night out west game, they only did that thing that a lot of those games get stuck with where they have the camera that's like way the hell up in the stadium and you can't really tell. I don't know is the answer. I also don't care because that flag should not have come out. That flag shouldn't have come out. It should not have been ruled a defensive holding, and the game should have ended. This is why I've said forever, my biggest slogan when it comes to officiating is, if it's a foul in the first, it's a foul in the fourth. And if it ain't a foul in the first, it ain't a foul in the fourth. I don't care if it's the first snap of the game or the last and most consequential snap of the game. If it's a foul, it's a foul. And if it's not, it's not. Call it consistently. Okay? I don't care what the dramatics say. I actually agree with Mark Harlan. Here's the problem. It is one thing to come out and go, I got a big problem with the officiating decision. It is a big problem for the hanky to come out. It's a big problem. You influence the outcome of the game. It is another thing to be so caught up in your fifis, as Mark Harlan very clearly was, that you come out and you damage the school. Do you think the Big 12 is super thrilled that the AD of the Utah Utes came out and said, we were excited to join this conference, but now we're not? You're unprofessional. Is he right? You're damn right he's right. He's absolutely right. They got robbed. And before you hit me with, well, wait a minute, Rob, you know, they could have scored more points. They could have stopped BYU. Look, I don't care if you have the worst game ever. If you have a crap game and you still put yourself in a position to win the game, the game should be determined by the performance of the players on the field. Always and forever. This is why Rob Brownish hashtag Team RoboUmp. If the players have the crappiest game ever and yet still put themselves in a position where they can go win that game, then they deserve to go win that game. Don't hit me. Well, if they would have played better. Yes, that's how every game everywhere has ever worked ever. But they didn't. They played the game they played and still put themselves in a position to win and didn't deserve to have it taken away. But as the athletic director, you got to present it more professionally than that. As the athletic director, you were in charge of the image of the school. You were in charge of the business aspects of the school. And if you go in there and you kick the door down and go, all right, you sorry sons of we hate you and we're you make the school look real bad. And guess who can make it worse for you? The conference and the conference officials, right? One thing to grab the mic and go, hey, we got a problem with what just happened out there. We will be addressing it with this conference because we are very disappointed and unhappy with the outcome. That's fine. That's fair. But to come out there and to do that, you're throwing your school under the bus. You're creating a world in which if there is one person with any power in the athletic director's office, in the conference commissioner, that's the guy, in the conference commissioner's office who can pull strings and make your life worse, yeah, they're about to do that. Now, let me give you another one. Here's another guy who got a little snippy with the media. This is the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, the butthole of America. Doug Peterson.
What was the play? What was supposed to happen on the final Mac interception if he didn't get hit and throw the pick?
I'm not going to go through the details of the play because you guys wouldn't figure it out, but we'll look at the tape tomorrow and we'll make those corrections.
Hey, Doug, you. Okay? All right? That's not how you do it as a head coach.
You're the only guy that I know that would understand if he broke down the play.
You think there's...
I don't know anybody else who would understand it in the detail that you would know.
No, this is one
I'm
of
not,
those...
I'm not defending him on this. I'm just saying that was wrong, what he said. He shouldn't have did it. But if he broke down the play, there's probably a good majority of the reporters that go, yeah, I don't know what he's
I'm
saying.
Sure there are.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure there are. But also, no, there's a lot of us who know ball. There's a lot of us who understand a post route and a go route and a combo route and how they work.
I don't know if there's a lot.
There absolutely are. I have a huge circle of friends who text play schemes, designs, and what they're doing with each other.
Nerd.
Right?
It's now, labeled nerd, right?
Sure. Call me whatever you want to call me. Right. Don't get mad. I know ball. Don't get mad that I've taken the time to teach myself what's happening on a field so that I can talk football as opposed to just going, oh, he threw bad.
Well,
why did he throw bad?
I'm ignorant, so you can say that you know all those plays, and I'll just have to go, yeah, you sound like you know it.
That's fair, and there's a lot of people out there who know ball, and they go, oh, this guy knows ball, and I appreciate that he's actually breaking these plays down more than just being like half the dudes on the big talking head nets and going, Mac Jones is bad. Okay, but why? Tell me why. Don't you want to know why?
They're right, though. He is bad.
I don't disagree with it. but I can tell you why. Now, all of that being said, Mac Jones throws a pick. It ends up being a god-awful pick. I mean, god-awful pick. He throws it into the corner of the end zone. Ain't nobody but a damn Minnesota Viking anywhere within 10 yards. Choking up 10 yards of where the ball's going to land. It's bad. So when it
happens to him when he talks about Jacksonville.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Butthole of America. When Doug Peterson is asked what went wrong, it's not that hard. You know, I don't need a damn, I don't need you to have a doctorate in knowing ball to go, he was supposed to run a post route and he ran a slant. He was supposed to run a 9 and he ran a 7. He was supposed to run a corner route and he ran a post route. Whatever, right? All you got to say is that. I mean, Lonzo knows what a 9 route is. He knows what a post is versus an out, right? Just say it. But to go, you bunch of dumb idiots wouldn't get it. Doug Peterson's on his way out, boys. That is what happens when a coach is panicked
post
and is
when
out.
You go out and turn around.
No, post is when you run to the goalpost. Run down, go to the goalpost.
What if you're like on the 10 of the opposite side? You still
that's flag route or an out route.
No. I mean, you run all the way down to the post, even if you're on the 10.
Yeah, it's post route. It's just okay. Run to the post. Right. And there'll be it'll be like a 10
post. I was
post.
Thinking button hook. That's what I was thinking.
That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
The point here is, Doug, you don't have to go into the entire offensive philosophy and tell me why the combo route didn't work because the cornerback was in a cover 3 and we thought he was going to be in a 2 and they disguised it, rolled the coverage up. Just say it was supposed to be this and it wasn't. And hey, Mac made a mistake.
Hey, Rob, what's a flanker?
It's a wide receiver that's furthest and he's outside of the outside defensive back, so therefore he's got him flanked. Might be all the way on the sideline, might be on the hash mark, depending on the defensive setup.
Whoa.
In soccer, it's a whole different thing. I can give you that, too, because no ball. Doug Peterson, why don't you calm the bleep down, bud? Now, when we come back, one more coach who addressed the media got snippy with him, and I liked it. That's coming up next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. So I have given you two short clips, one from Utah Utes Athletic Director Mark Harlan, who stormed the press conference and gave you this clip.
I've been an athletic director for 12 years. This game was absolutely stolen from us. We were excited about being in the Big 12, but tonight I am not. We won this game. Someone else stole it from us. Very disappointed. I will talk to the commissioner. This was not fair to our team. I'm disgusted by the professionalism of the officiating crew tonight. Thank you.
Not a good look, because anybody in the commissioner's office that has any power to make your life suck is going to do that now. Then I gave you this clip from Butthole Jaguars coach Doug Peterson.
What was the play? What was supposed to happen on the final Mac interception if he didn't get hit and throw the pick?
Yeah, I'm not going to go through the details of the play because you guys wouldn't figure it out, but we'll look at the tape tomorrow and we'll make those corrections.
So, Mark Harlan absolutely had a point, delivered it the wrong way. Doug Peterson does not have a point and delivered it the wrong way. I have a problem with what Harlan did because he made all the people in the athletic department, from himself all the way down to the walk-on non-scholarship guys playing for the Utes, he made their life more difficult. I got a problem with that. I don't have a problem with his opinion. He's right. I have a problem with the delivery of it. Doug Peterson. I have a problem with everything about Doug Peterson. Not only does he not have a point, because he didn't make one, he just said, oh, we'll get a fix, which is the lamest thing that a coach can do. But on top of that, he insulted everyone in that room for no good reason. Because here's the thing. I promise you there's at least one, because I know him, there's at least one person in that room covering that team that knows ball. And that if you just explain it, he could then go be the mouthpiece that goes, look, the Jags had a chance, it went sideways, and according to Doug Peterson, here's what went wrong. But see, Doug knows he's on borrowed time at this point. He's cooked. He's toast. He's finished. He's out at the end of this year. Ain't no doubt. You are wasting Trevor Lawrence. You are done at the end of this year. And he's going to take it out on everybody. So I guess at the end of the day, I really shouldn't worry about it because it doesn't matter. In two more months, Doug Peterson's going to be fired and somebody else is going to step in and play that role. Now, There's one more coach who got into it with the media. Well, let me rephrase that. Shane Beamer did not get into it with the media. Shane Beamer got into it with one particular rag. I don't even need to set up the situation because Shane, in what I think is a good job, Shane lays out his grievance, addresses the grievance, dunks on the rag, and then gets out.
This is not a shot at you, Jordan. I like you a lot, but your paper sometimes is a doozy. And last year when we played Vanderbilt, y'all wrote one of the most ridiculous articles I've ever read in the history of journalism, where you had the Clemson beat writer write an article about how far South Carolina's program had fallen in 2023 because we weren't favored by more against Vanderbilt. That might have been the most embarrassing pieces of journalism I've ever read, to say this team has fallen as a program in 2023 because they're not favored by more against Vanderbilt. That in 2022 they were favored by this much against Vanderbilt, but in 2023 they're not, so all of a sudden they've fallen as a program. I mean, that's just some Bush League stuff right there by that guy.
Not a single issue with that, with the exception of one. The one exception, the one issue I have with it is the same, and I've had this issue with Lonzo many times in the past. It's an editorial column. It's not journalism. There is a difference. There's a difference between journalism and editorialism.
All right, here's the thing. Yes, we have this argument, but you are believing that everyone knows that, and everyone doesn't know that. There are people out there who believe, I read it in this, so it's news. They don't know that this
that
is someone's opinion.
That doesn't make them not wrong. They're still wrong, right? Just you're wrong out of ignorance, whether it's willful or unwillful, you're still wrong.
Your lot in life, your goal, your creed, I don't know, to teach people the difference.
I'm trying to. I literally am trying to right now. There is a difference between journalism and editorialism.
So
what Shane is referring to
was
an editorialize,
it should be on the editorial page, right? Well, so this article was on the editorial page.
Here's the thing.
It wasn't, was it? It was on the sports page.
You should not need someone to put up a neon sign that says opinion for you to read it and go, this is an opinion. Clemson or South Carolina should be favored by more. And the fact that they're favored by less shows that is clearly and evidently an opinion. And yes, I have certain expectations of the intelligence of people.
Okay, well, that's a mistake. And here's the other thing. You know, if we are breaking news, usually we're breaking actual news. But for the most part, this show is editorializing everything.
Correct, which is why I do not refer to myself as a journalist.
If I read a newspaper, because I don't even know if they have physical copies anymore. They probably do. If I read a newspaper, I would expect everything that's not in the editorial section of the paper to be news and not be opinion.
And I would expect that you, as a functioning adult who's read newspapers, can read and go, this is an opinion, right? Like, I'm sorry. Yes, I have baseline expectations of intelligence for functioning members of society.
I think part of it may also be age, because, you know, back in the day, there was no opinion in places where it wasn't a place to put opinion.
Cool.
Editorial was opinions. Everything else is reporting the news. Right. And it's gotten away from that to the point where you go, okay, is this the actual news or does this guy just not like that team?
See, this is I couldn't disagree more. Because if a guy writes down in a newspaper, Clemson,
well,
South Carolina.
Well, you're not getting a hug today. That's all.
Damn it. I ruined it. If a guy writes in a newspaper, last year, South Carolina was favored over Vanderbilt by 14 points, and this year they're favored by Vanderbilt over 10 points. That's news, right? If that's facts. That's just numbers. You can go check that. But if the guy writes, last year South Carolina was favored by 14 points and this year is 10, and that's because South Carolina's worse as a football team, that's opinion.
Was it actually a Clemson beat writer?
I don't freaking know.
But
I'm going to take
Shane's. I think that makes the story more interesting if he was.
And I don't disagree, because I think if that is the case, and I'll take Shane Beamer for granted that he's correct and that it was a Clemson beat writer. And let's keep it a buck. There's every possibility also that it was just a columnist who wrote a column. Right. And because he wrote a column critical of Shane Beamer, Shane just assumes he's the Clemson guy. It doesn't matter to me. The point about this isn't the news or how it's presented. The point here for me is I'm actually going to defend Shane going after this newspaper for this.
Well, there are some people, and we've been in the midst of a storm before when it comes to this, think that it's beneath Shane to comment on articles or some lame guy in the upstate of South Carolina coming at him. I think it shows fire, and I'm okay with it.
So
So you can say this about me, but I can't say anything back. That's not cool.
So listen, there's a. I love steaming on the stream saying we can't all be haughty intellectuals like Rob Brown. That's not how that word's spelled, no, Stephen, but no, it is today.
But that's actual proof of what he's saying because he misspelled it on purpose.
Am I screen capping that? Absolutely.
Of course you
Thank
are.
You. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you for that.
Way to compliment him.
That's going to be on Twitter like 2 minutes after that. I'm leaving it up the rest of the segment.
Yeah, I'll be taking it down.
So I don't have any problem with Shane getting after it. And I will even go so far as to say, for those of you that have listened to this station for some length of time, you know that there was a dust-up between a host on this station and Shane Beamer a year and a half, 2 years ago, whatever it was. And there was some infighting at the station because I defended Shane Beamer attacking this radio station.
All right, so I don't know why it's an I. I mean, because we're a team.
And, well, but dude, I was...
Trust me, I got more of it than you know. So, anyway.
Maybe so. However you want to dice it up.
Especially after we had Shane on. Well, you did that on purpose.
Yeah, we
just
did.
Just to prove.
Yes, we did.
It's like, no.
Someone
on the station said they couldn't get him on the station, and all Rob did was call and ask to get him on the station, and he said yes.
The point here is, we had a dust-up. A host on this station had a dust-up, and what happened was Shane addressed the station at large because of one host, dragged us into it. We, of course, as affiliated shows on the station, got dragged into it. And I told the host in question at the time, I'm actually defending Shane Beamer attacking my station. He got real mad. He's like, oh, you should defend the station above all else. No. What I'm going to defend is the fact that you said a thing. You made a hot take that got picked up that put Shane Beamer in a bad light. Shane attacked you for it, and you had nothing other than, trust me, bro. That's what happened here. You said, trust me, bro. And I don't take trust me, bro, as certifiable reason to accept the take. So I actually have Shane's back, even when he's attacking the station I work for, because it's not me or the show. That being said, I didn't have a problem with it when he did it then.
It was all a pattern of building hatred of a fan base towards someone to get clicks. And then it works if you're good at it. And that guy's really good at making people hate him.
Look, this has nothing to do with him.
But I didn't think it was beneath Shane to comment because he was coming at Shane. And Shane is human and he shouldn't go, oh yeah, that's just goes with the territory. No, I want my coach a little bit fiery and coming back at stuff like that.
The point that the other host was making there, and an opinion he stood on for a long time, is that, oh, Shane behind the scenes is a hothead and he's temperamental and he's tough to work with and yada yada yada. And one of the things that he tried to do was to take
That's funny coming from that guy.
Was to take that story that he created and to, once Shane attacked, go, see, I told you so. And my answer was, as Lonzo's is now, I don't have an issue with it. Because your expectation of how someone should behave is not the rule. It's not. And I'm talking about that host, but I'm talking about every person listening, right? This is the way you should act in that station. That I don't always disagree. Now, I do understand that if you are going to step out of the norm, you've got to understand the potential consequences that come along with it. I understand the potential consequences that come along with me being a host that's willing to call an entire city the butthole of America. I may very well get taken to task for that, and I accept that as a consequence. Pat McAfee understood the consequences when he rolled out his podcast of being a host who dropped multiple F-bombs every show. He understood the potential consequences. But he also said, this is me and how I'm doing the show. And he got rewarded with the most listened to sports talk show in America based on that, right? So you got to understand. And Shane, I think, is a dude who understands the consequence. Because I'll get text, like I just did on the text line at 71307, that said, Shane Beamer is so sensitive. Yeah, sure. Let's say he is. Let's say you're right. Here's the thing. What does it matter if you feel that way, or I feel that way, or Lonzo feels that way, or anybody else feels that way? There is a small group of people who it matters if they believe Shane Beamer is sensitive or not. Who are those people? Guys, he's trying to go get to play football for him. And I'll tell you right now, if I am a recruit, I can tell you this, and only this about me and only me, anecdotally. If I am a football player, Rob Brown at 18 years of age, had I had any talent, ability, ambition, whatever, that was a D1 football player.
Height.
And I saw, and I was 6'3 in high school. I ran a 4'4.
Wait.
All right? I wasn't good. If I was a D1 prospect and I saw a coach that was willing to go get somebody to just go outright attack, to say about somebody.
I mean, that's just some Bush League stuff.
And to go get him to defend the program, that's a guy I want to play for. That's a guy I want to have the pride in the program that guy has in the program. When he's calling people out, that's the guy I want to play for. So it doesn't matter if you think he's overly sensitive. What matters is if the guys that are playing for him and he wants to play for him do. And I'll tell you right now, doesn't seem like any of them do. So who the hell cares? You know what we wouldn't say?
I mean, that's just some Bush League stuff.
About Lonzo Sports Flash.
Oh, I think you would absolutely say that about everything that I say. It's okay. We all got our talents. Two games after being benched for tapping out of a game, the Colts are bringing former fourth overall draft pick Anthony Richardson back as a starting quarterback. Coach Shane Steichen said yesterday Richardson has spent the time on the bench improving his off-the-field preparation and field leadership. The Colts face the Jets on Sunday. Also, Flacco wasn't good. We are just a day away from boxing history. As a knockout machine, Iron Mike Tyson takes on the most punchable face in boxing, Jake Paul. Stay tuned right here for the hype leading up to the fight, which goes down tomorrow night. And we'll be talking about it extensively at 9:20. Also, tune in tomorrow at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Tulane Green Wave in hard court action. It's Furman versus Tulane right here on your home for Paladins basketball. It's us. It's here. It's the Fan. Upstate.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.